You are listening to Portobello Talk Radio, the authentic voice of Ladbroke Grove.
Hello, my name is Piers Thompson and you're listening to Portobello Radio, the local community radio station for North Kensington. Welcome to episode 5 of Our Future Hood, a series of shows and podcasts about how we can all work together to create a greener future. It's part of the Mayor of London's Future Neighbourhoods 2030 programme. In the process, we'll be helping ourselves as well as our bit of the planet. In this programme, we're looking at the circular economy. What's that, I hear you ask? Essentially, it's about reducing waste, and in doing so, we minimise carbon emissions and the consumption of raw materials. So we need to reuse, repair, share and recycle. At the last count, the recycling rate for Kensington and Chelsea was 23.1%. That puts us towards the bottom of the table of London boroughs. I wondered what was stopping residents from recycling more, so I went to get the views of local resident Zakia and put listeners' questions to Iced, the council's waste reduction project's team leader. I started by asking how well Nottingdale recycles.
We can't specifically say one ward, but we can say generally in Kensington Chelsea Borough. So we're working really hard to improve our recycling rates, as always. It was introduced a while back, and now we obviously offer it to every resident in the borough. Either that could be by sacks that people get delivered, or by communal bins that people might have if they live in a block of flats. It's very successful in a way, because people do recycle, but we always want them to do more, so that's why we're here.
Takea, do you recycle? Are you a good recycler?
I recycle. I don't know, my mom might say I'm not the best recycler, but I do recycle. I think sometimes I just forget to like rinse things or put them in the correct bags. But I try my best to recycle as much as possible, because, you know, do my part for the planet.
We all want to do our bit for the planet if we can, but something we heard time and time again is confusion about recycling. Clear sacks and black bin liners all get thrown into the same truck. Can we reassure residents that their recycling really gets recycled?
In some cases, that actually there is confusion by some residents that we get calls from, that they say, oh, you know, they saw my bag of recycling that they recycled meticulously and washed and squashed and put in a bag, and then they see it going the same truck and they are devastated. So it is actually split in the middle. One side is just dedicated for recycling and the other side is for general waste or rubbish. It's just to save amount of vehicles we have on the road. So instead of having two vehicles attending, it's only one, to save space and time.
One of the questions we've been asked a lot is, where do those bags really go? Are recycled items really recycled? So we talked to Councillor Soph McVeigh.
Thank you, Piers. Good question. I thought the same myself, so I decided to follow a plastic bottle, which I put in my recycling, down to the Riverside recycling unit and see what happens to it. And if it's a clear plastic bottle, it is really useful and it does get recycled and it does then end up getting used again.
You went down to Western Riverside to follow that journey.
I did indeed. It's an incredible setup, and anyone can go and have a look if they book an appointment, and I really do recommend it, and it makes you realise how important it is to recycle.
In Kensington and Chelsea, we are very lucky to have mixed recycling as well as our black bin collections. But I want to know, what's going to happen to this bottle when it goes in my recycling bin? You know, it has to be squashed. Our fantastic collection crews collect rubbish and recycling twice a week. We've collected over 9,000 tonnes of mixed recycling last year.
Here we are with our bottle at the Western Riverside Waste Authority, where Kensington and Chelsea's recycling comes to get processed. Let's see what happens to our bottle.
First, Kensington and Chelsea recycling crews deposit the recycling into this huge bunker. Here, the Claw picks it up and moves it to be sorted. There are over 30 people that work at the facility each shift, alongside all the sorting machines. Once the recycling is sorted and contaminants have been removed, plastics are separated by colour and types. Our plastic bottle will be sent through a plastic perforator to take the air out, and then it is baled ready for onward processing.
Here is our bottle, part of this pack. Steve, where does this pack now go?
Once the bale material is ready to go out, it will go to a third party where the material is essentially washed and shredded into pellets. It can then be made into new plastic items.
So you've seen where the bottle ends up. So if you have to use plastic, please recycle it.
We heard in that report about cleaning or recycling. Why is that so important?
We ask to clean the items because at the end, if it is not cleaned, it reduces the quality of the recycled item. Also, it can contaminate the rest of the load. So if you, for example, had a pot of soup that you haven't even opened, although the item, the can or the plastic tub could be recycled and is widely recyclable, if it was full of soup and you put that in recycling, in the truck when it gets squashed with all the other recycling, it would open and ruin the rest of the recycling, unfortunately. So that's why we ask to clean and dry. So it doesn't, you don't have to put in a dishwasher or anything like that. Even just a little bit of dirty dishwater, rinsing it and then drip drying it and then put it in recycling.
One of the things I always have a problem with is whether caps should be on or caps should be off.
Yes, so caps on and off can be confusing, and I understand that. So I generally always advise to have a look at what material it's made out of. So what we can recycle, we know it's glass, metal, plastic. So if a jar is made of plastic and the cap is made of plastic as well, we can keep it on, you can recycle it as it is. If it's made out of a jar, rather than plastic, just take it off as it will be sorted into different compartments. If they are really small caps, just put them in general waste because unfortunately they fall through when they go through the process. But if any of that is too confusing, just if in doubt, leave it out. We always practice this message. So if you don't know if it's recyclable, it's better to put it in rubbish rather than recycling.
Another question people ask is whether you can recycle dark plastics, the black or the brown plastics. A lot of the supermarkets put meat, for instance, in black plastic because it looks better against the black background.
Yes. So there is a bit of a myth whether black and brown plastic can be recycled. And Western Riverside accepts all plastic, so black and brown. So we accept it in our borough. So you're always, it's best to check where the borough that you live in, but here locally we do accept it, yeah.
The other question a lot of people ask is about contamination and whether a tiny speck of grease or dirt counts as contaminated and whether that can join the other items in the recycling bag.
Yes, so again, I think what we would always advise is clean and dry recycling is most acceptable, of course. But for example, if we had a pizza box with pizza in it and your pizza's stuck to the bottom and there's loads of cheese all over, rip off that part, put that in general waste. But if the part of cardboard is dry, rip that one off and put it in recycling. So if it's soaked through with grease, yes, it could contaminate the rest of the items and that cardboard is not a good quality anymore, but if it is just a speck, then that's fine.
Zakir, you're a good recycler. Is there anything you have an issue with? You can't decide which bag it goes in?
No, generally I look at the back of like packaging as well to see if it's recyclable. I mean, the pizza box one kind of sometimes gets me because sometimes like there's a lot of grease in it, and I'm like, do I recycle it? Do I not? And then plastic bottles, most of the nowadays, they've got the lids attached to it. So even when you screw it off, it's still on the side of the bottle. So it's meant to be recycled with it. But yeah, I think I just kind of tend to use not so much common sense, but if it's got food on it, my mum always tells me you can't recycle it, so I don't. And if it's clean and I've rinsed that out, then I'll put it in a bin and wait for the recycle trucks, whatever day they come.
Have you thought about moving to a water bottle rather than buying plastic bottles each time?
I got a water bottle, but the reason is because I'm always in and out the house, and I can't be bothered to spend £1.50 in the corner shop every time for a bottle of water. So like, I'll buy them in bulk. But I've got like glass bottles and things like that that I'll use for university. But if I'm going out to see some friends, I always like to have water on me, especially if I'm traveling on the trains and stuff. So like a little plastic bottle, like I'll travel with or whatever.
On that same point, what is the most efficient material to buy? I mean, should we be buying our drinks in cans, or should we be buying them in plastic bottles?
I don't think there's one material preferred over the other, really. We would always advise practice kind of waste hierarchy, so reduce the single-use plastic as much as possible. So if you can, use reusable bottles, much, much better for environment. Saying that, obviously, that's not always the case. You might be out and about and you're really thirsty, so you need to drink some water. Plastic is recyclable. Cans are infinitely recyclable. That's what they say. However, it still takes resource to recycle that item. Plastic, it downgrades every time it's recycled. Whereas, for example, can is always a raw metal, so it doesn't downgrade as much. So yeah, I'd say always reusable. There's not really one winner in single-use plastic.
West Riverside takes all the materials and crushes them, sorts them, turns them into bales. What happens to the materials once they've been turned into those bales?
So once they've been turned into the bales, they then taken to different contractors around the UK to be processed into other items. So, you know, like you probably have heard, plastic can become different types of plastic. It can turn into plastic chairs, into garden furniture and things like that. Most of the stuff doesn't actually leave UK. And when it does, is usually within Europe. And that is strictly checked by environmental agencies. So we know we have agency of where those items go. But they are very valuable resource and becomes a raw material to be used for something else.
That highlights another way of looking at waste, that in fact it has a value. And nowhere is that more relevant than in the area of electrical e-waste. I went to Baseline to talk to Circular Economy Officer Cyndia.
So one of the projects that I'm working on is called Rewired. And as a part of that project, we've launched the e-recycling scheme. So that's all about electronics. And today was the first time we've done collections, and it's been quite successful.
What type of things are you collecting?
You can recycle a lot of electronics. So one of the things that we're trying to focus on is small electronics. So that will be anything like wires or phones or batteries, because those are the things that are quite easy to collect and recycle. However, because we also have a restoration scheme, we can take in larger electronics as well, as we can test them to see if they can be repaired, as then they can be passed on to other people. And if not, we have connections to be able to recycle those as well.
How important is it for us to be recycling these electronics? I mean, a lot of them have got precious metals in them.
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, like you said, there's precious metals. That's kind of important in the sense that if we don't have to mine for those, if we don't have to look for new materials, that's good on the environmental side, because it's a very taxing process. But in general, if electronic waste ends up in landfills, it's very, very harmful, because it can bleed toxic chemicals. If it's set on fire, that's creating toxic fumes, and that kind of spreads across things, where if it gets into water, that gets to animals, which can get to us, or if it's in the air that we breathe, it can have very negative effects on our health. So it's quite important to prevent that from happening, since this scheme.
There are e-waste bins at Baseline, at the Leisure Centre and at the Harrow Club, and more locations are always being added. You can recycle old wires, headphones, batteries, printers, pretty much anything, and they all contain the precious metals that we need to create a greener economy. But before it gets thrown away into the recycling bin, there may be another solution. Fix it. Repair cafes are springing up all over London and right here in Notting Dale. So I went to the Fix It Festival to meet Mandeep of West Central London Fixers. Tell us about West Central London Fixers. What do you guys do?
So we repair electronical devices, and that could be from mobile, toasters, lamps, the whole lot really. The only few things we don't do that are very high voltage is, for example, like microwaves, which are kind of dangerous, so we don't do them. But other than that, we have a huge amount of items, a huge range that comes up to our events. And pretty much people book online, they come down, and the really cool thing is that it's pretty much community driven. And we don't really actually charge for the events as well. So you could pretty much come down, you just have a booking fee. So we come down and we will take a look. And even if you don't know what is wrong with your item, not a problem. Our fixers will go ahead and let you give your item a diagnostics, and they'll let you know what's wrong with it. If you need a part, we will tell you to bring one. And then from there, we'll then book another session where we could go ahead and repair your item. The whole point for doing all of this is to reduce e-waste, and by doing so we're helping to save the planet. And we also wanted to educate people on how to look into the items instead of throwing it away, see if we could get some more longevity out of the items and maybe even fix it themselves. So we've also sort of created a scheme where people could come in and we do a training session. So with the training session, it helps to encourage people to go ahead and bring the items down. If they're very sort of scared and they don't know what's wrong with their device, we wanted to go ahead and help them sort of people to help fix it. We found that we have a large range of elderly people that come in that are very interested, and I feel like they just need a bit of time and a bit of love to show them how to go ahead and repair their item. So we start off very simple with a plug and just breaking down of how a plug works. We would open it up and just give them the basic electronics of how everything works in terms of the live, the neutral wires and the earth wire. And then we move on to something a little bit more tricky, which is basically repairing a laptop screen. So it might sound very daunting. People might have a look and be like, oh, that's a bit too difficult. But the whole point is basically when someone is there with you, giving you that guidance of how to do it, it's basically baby steps into teaching them of how to go ahead and diagnose an item. So the mindset and thought step is very similar with every single item that we go ahead. Basically, it's problem solving and fault finding. So finding the fault of the problem and then seeing how we could tackle that.
So,
Portobello Talk Radio.
And do you receive a lot of electronic goods that could be repaired, which are just chucked away?
Yeah, of course, a lot of items that could be avoided unfortunately end up either recycling, which is actually not where it should be, or general waste, which is such a shame to see really good working order items to not used in the right way. So yeah, we would always practice the kind of the hierarchy of repairing before even thinking about, you know, recycling. There is on our webpage, there is a website called A to Z Recycling. So that for every item that you might have questions on, there is a tip on how to reduce that item from some, for example, single use plastics or things like that, or packaging, and how to repair it or give it to someone else. Well, there's different websites and places you can give it away. Not just friend circles are great, but for example there are certain Facebook groups or Olio, which is a really great app that people can use to give away their items.
Takir, do you just throw things away or do you get them repaired, or how do you work with that?
I tend to kind of like upcycle, so like with my clothes and things like that, if they're like I have a lot of friends that are creative, so if they're doing projects where they need to use fabrics and clothing, I'll tend to give them the clothes, or I'll go to one of the clothing bins or give it to a charity shop. So I'll upcycle my clothes. In terms of my electronics, I don't really like to throw them away. I think I'm a bit of a hoarder when it comes to some things. And I feel like if it's in a condition where it's still working and I have no use for it, I feel like there's always someone within my circle or close circle that will know someone that wants something like that. So I just try to give things to people that I know that are going to use it. And that's kind of my way of like upcycling the things that I have.
Upcycling is the process where old products are reused or remodeled creatively and end up with more value, not less. One of the many initiatives funded by Nottingdale Future Neighbourhoods is an upcycling workshop run by Ilaria De Fiore and Portobello Radio's own Isis.
We have this project where we upcycle clothes. People bring their own clothes, or we supply some clothes that would otherwise go to a landfill, and we make them better, and or we transform them in other things. We customize them, and we also write poetry on them.
The idea is it's like a safe space for predominantly women. I mean, we have had one or two men, but it's really a women and girls project. So it's intergenerational. We've got mothers and their daughters and, you know, women of all ages. Also, it's very diverse.
How does this fit into the waste hierarchy of reuse, repair and recycle?
Well, that is just really the center of it, because we don't buy new fabrics unless it's absolutely necessary that we need like a particular color. And even when we buy new fabrics, we go to places like the community places, the markets, and sometimes they sell offcuts and things that people wouldn't normally buy because there's maybe not enough quantity of that particular fabric. It's just we recycle, we upcycle, we use old clothes.
Nobody sews anything anymore. You just go to Primani and buy something and then throw it away the next week. So one of the things I think that's important about this is that, like, recapturing skills, like Ilaria teaching people to crochet, women coming along with a bunch of socks that need fixing and finding bits of fabric and patching them up, or just embellishing something, getting an old T-shirt, cutting it up, you know, like we used to do back in your punk days, Piers. You know, so actually I think it's reclaiming a bit of the past that we ought to not have lost.
You know, people come with all sorts of ideas and we help them developing their own ideas. So
the idea is come, talk to other women, share your experiences. You know, you learn about other people's culture and you also help the environment. So, you know, you can't go wrong.
Food waste is also a big issue. Overall, about one third of the world's food is thrown away, which amounts to 3.3 billion tonnes of CO2 emissions annually. The average household throws away £83 worth of food a month, and we talked about the Zero Waste Kitchen in another show in this series. I went to talk to Felicity of the Lancaster West neighbourhood team to find out what else is happening to deal with the issue.
With residents in 2021... we were successful in securing a bit of funding to set up a community fridge from Hubbub, who are an environmental charity. And this was an initiative that kind of has dual purposes, I suppose. One was to divert food waste, and two was to gather community and find ways that this can have a positive impact. So both in terms of financial support and money saved, but also primarily social spaces and creating kind of meeting points around food.
And what is the process that goes into the fridge?
So we have a couple of fridges, and essentially surplus food deliveries come and it's disseminated. It's all measured, weighed, checked. All produce obviously has to be of a certain standard. It has to be in date. It has to be sealed, etc., to comply with all kind of food hygiene standards. People handling the food have to be trained appropriately to manage that. And then it's put into a fridge. We have a static fridge at the front of Baseline, which is that community fridge, and people can just come and take as they would like. The other part of the community fridge model is that people can give surplus food. So if you're going on holiday and you've got a couple of items that are unopened sat in your cupboard or your fridge that aren't going to be used, you could donate those. And the model of the fridge again is that everything is tracked through weight, so all food saved and taken in and all food taken out, so you're able to see by weight the kind of amount that you're saving and therefore also the carbon emissions saved with that food being diverted from waste.
Sharing is one of the central pillars of the circular economy, since it saves resources, saves emissions, saves money, and also brings people together. There's a great sharing scheme based at Kensington Leisure Centre called the Library of Things. I popped along to meet Heather and find out more. Heather, tell me, what is the Library of Things?
So the Library of Things is a social enterprise company and we're trying to make borrowing better than buying. So we're all about the circular economy. You can come to us and borrow all sorts of things that you might need for a one-off project, like DIY equipment, gardening stuff, carpet cleaners, projector, ladder, sewing machine, you name it. You can come and borrow it from us instead of going and buying it. So we're trying to make it better to borrow rather than buy, because it's better for people, better for the planet, it's a lot cheaper and a lot less ends up on landfill. So we all borrow a really professional drill instead of all buying a bad one that ends up on landfill, and we look after it for you, and they're all professional models from Bosch and Kärcher. So better for everyone.
It's great, isn't it, the way that if you do the right thing for the environment, it quite often ends up being much cheaper for the consumer.
Absolutely. And it has a knock-on effect as well. So not only are you saving money on buying the thing in the first place, you just pay a few pounds a day to borrow it instead, you're then more likely perhaps to repair something at home that you otherwise would have to buy new. So we've had people that were, you know, going to throw out a table but have borrowed a sander and a drill and have fixed it up instead.
Tell me, what are the most popular items at the Library of Things?
So the carpet cleaner is very popular, and drills, and in the summer gardening stuff and pressure washers are very popular. So some of it is seasonal. We have like an ice cream maker that goes great guns in the summer. We have a thermal imaging camera that's great in the winter. You can use it to go around your house and find out where you're losing heat from your house. So if you identify a certain window or door frame that's losing you a lot of heat, you then know you can insulate that and save yourself even more money.
Do people have to join a club, or what's the process for borrowing, say, a drill?
So we try and make it as simple as possible and as accessible as possible for everyone. So we don't ask for any membership. You literally just pay for the thing that you're borrowing and the days that you borrow it for. There's a £2 fee right at the beginning just for an admin fee. We need photo ID so that we know where you live. But we don't ask for any big deposits. We want to make DIY as accessible for everybody as possible. So you go online, you register with us and do your photo ID, and then there's a little calendar and you can see all the things that are at North Kensington or Hammersmith, wherever you're going, and you select the thing you want and when you want it, and you get sent a 6-digit code which you pop in the screen, your locker pops open, you take your thing and you bring it back when you're done.
Everything you've heard in this show is about reducing waste, saving resources, saving emissions, and usually saving us money, helping ourselves as well as our bit of the planet. We've just got time to go back to Aist for a couple of last questions. This one from a Silchester resident. I live at the top of Whitstable House and we have a rubbish chute. How am I supposed to recycle?
That is something that comes up a lot. The chutes in towers, when these buildings were built was a long, long time ago before we had such amount of recycling as we do, before recycling existed really. So it was built for just general waste and it was a very convenient way of getting rid of your rubbish. But now with the recycling, we have delivery boxes more than ever before. They have large cardboard boxes, and when people trying to put those down the chute, a lot of the times they do get stuck, which causes blocked chutes. There's not really one way solution. There are many different ways we can improve this, and having bins outside of your house for recycling specifically could be one of them. It's, you know, working around different obstacles.
If you need to know any more about the recycling initiatives at the council, who should we get in touch with?
Just go on our webpage, rbkc.gov.uk, and click on bins and recycling. Yeah, there's loads of resource there.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. I hope that something you've heard on this show inspires you to reduce some of the waste that you and your family create. It can be fun and it can be creative, and it saves stuff being dumped in landfill or ending up in a great garbage patch in the ocean. The circular economy is a new phrase to express an idea that would be familiar to your thrifty grandma. It's now an essential part of the mission to minimise carbon emissions and the consumption of raw materials. Right now, there are wars being fought, especially in Africa, to control some of the production of some of the minerals that we casually chuck in the bin. So reuse, repair, share, and please make sure you recycle. My name is Piers Thompson. This is Portobello Radio, your local community radio station. And this series, Our Future Hood, has been supported by the Mayor of London.
I love Portobello Radio.